And verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, let's make this prayer our prayer tonight. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep in the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as it is this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges, that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Amen. And may God make that our prayer. tonight, as we come to this, may we experience something of the spirit of this man of God who approached God in prayer. And as a result, remarkable things were set in place. Praise God. We're dealing here in our next message in the Heaven's Rule, and it's called Daniel's 70 Weeks. Daniel's 70 Weeks. I told you we're going to deal with numbers here tonight in this message. And I've got 3 points. The first 2 points are going to be brief. The third point, we are going to expound 4 verses of Daniel's third vision here, a vital vision that the Lord gave him. And it's called Daniel's 70 visions. My first point tonight is 70 literal years. Our message is called Daniel's 70 weeks. But this first point that I'm going to deal with is 70 literal years. Not 70 weeks, but 70 years. Notice how this chapter starts. It actually begins with 70 years, and it's going to finish with 70 weeks. You won't fully understand the 70 weeks if we don't look at the 70 literal years at the beginning of this chapter. Look with me in verse 1 here for a moment. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Azazarus, of the seed of the Medes. Now notice here, it's in the first year of Darius, the Mede. You'll remember that he is the king appointed over Babylon by Cyrus. When the city is taken by the Medo-Persian armies on the night of Belshazzar's feast, this is the first year of Darius. In other words, it's the year that follows after Belshazzar being killed, the end of the Babylonian Empire. And this new empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, ruled by King Cyrus the Great. This is the first year of Darius the Mede ruling over the city of Babylon. And it was during this 70 it was during this first year that this entire chapter takes place. Notice what else he says about King Darius, that he was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In other words, he was made king. Someone made him king. There's someone higher than Darius. Who was higher than Darius? It was Cyrus the Great. And notice as well, he was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In other words, it's a smaller realm than the entire empire of the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus was over the empire. But here you have Darius is over the Chaldeans, or those in around the city of Babylon, or the region of what we know as Iraq. And we are told here, notice in verse 2 what happens. In this first year of Darius, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years. What does that mean? It actually means that Daniel was studying the books, the scriptures, the word of God, the Bible of his generation. I believe he was studying the book of Jeremiah, maybe Isaiah, and maybe other portions of scripture, but it actually says that he understood. In other words, you know what the word understand actually means. It means that all the parts are put in place. To have knowledge is to have the facts all gathered together. To have understanding means it fits together like a jigsaw. So he is staying here. He had to be reading the Bible. He had to be studying it. And as he was reading the word of God, it says Daniel understood by the books the number of the years. In other words, it dawned on him. Everything fitted into place. Now notice here, this is the first year after the end of the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire has just come to an end. 70 years of the Babylonian Empire. And it is in this first year of Darius of the Medo-Persians. It is at this time that suddenly we're told that Daniel understands by the books. Do you know the Bible and prophecies in the Bible give you understanding about the day you live in and the hour you live in? And I believe especially for us, we're going to have remarkable experiences in our day, in our generation, where we suddenly begin to understand. We're going to see the events happening in our world, in politics, in the economy, and suddenly, as we study Bible prophecy, we're going to go, now I understand, just like Daniel. You see, this was a momentous change in world history that he lived through. He saw it, and he actually understood by the books the number of the years. In other words, he discerned from studying the Word of God the hour he lived in. Suddenly, the years became momentous, and he realized that the hour he lived in was prophesied in the Bible. It says in verse 2, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. In other words, he was reading the book of Jeremiah. He had understanding of the prophecies of Jeremiah all those years previous, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. This is my first point. 70 literal years. If we're going to understand this chapter, this is where we have to understand. This is where we have to start. At with these 70 literal years. That's my point. What am I meaning literal 70 years? I mean 70 years means 70 years. You can't spiritualize them. You can't call them symbolic. They are real 70 years. Now, Daniel said he understood in studying the book of Jeremiah. He was reading it. He begins to understand the years, the number of the years. Do you know what he's reading in Jeremiah? Is a prophecy in Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29 about a period of judgment on the Jewish people of 70 years. There are two distinct prophecies given about a period of 70 years. And Daniel, as he read, he suddenly understands what he is reading and how it fits into his day and generation. Do you know what had just happened? 70 years of Babylonian rule had suddenly come to an end. A remarkable thing. Do you know that the kingdom of Babylon had been an empire for 70 years? Do you know in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 25, Jeremiah prophesied that at the end of 70 years, that the Lord was going to punish the king of Babylon. That God was going to judge Babylon. Yes, Babylon was going to be used by God to discipline Israel and to carry them into captivity, to chasten them, to bring them under the rod. God was going to use Babylon. But he also said, at the end of 70 years, I am going to bring Babylon down. I'm going to judge its king. Did it happen? Yes. As Daniel literally read the book of Jeremiah, he begins to understand, this is the hour. 70 years were accomplished on the kingdom of Babylon. Do you know how old Daniel is here? He is a man of about 83 years old. He'd come to Babylon at about the age of 16. Now he'd lived for 67 years in Babylon. Now notice here, he has just witnessed the fulfillment of a prophecy of 70 literal years in which Babylon has been judged. Babylon has been a kingdom 70 years. Now at the age of 67 years, he goes, 67 years ago, I actually was carried captive from Jerusalem. I was one of the first captives carried away. It is now 67 years. And in Jeremiah, it talks about another period of 70 years that's going to be accomplished. Now as Daniel is reading, he says, if God has judged Babylon, then that means he is also going to restore Israel Israel. He's going to restore the temple. He's going to restore the city. He's going to send us back again. All of this affected him. Seeing the judgment on Babylon and God fulfilling Bible prophecy stirred up his heart, gave him understanding, and it impacted him greatly to realize very shortly God is going to begin fulfilling his plan to restore Israel again. Very shortly, he'll have been in Babylon, the city of Babylon, for a period of 70 years. He'd been there since the year 605 BC. Do you also realize in this chapter, it was almost 50 years since the temple had been destroyed? And in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about God restoring the temple again, rebuilding the city, restoring them. Almost 50 years. So Daniel is at a momentous time. He has begun to see Bible prophecy fulfilled, a literal fulfilling of 70 years upon the nation of Babylon. He's approaching his 70th anniversary in captivity. He is also looking, it is almost 50 years since the temple was destroyed. It's 50 years almost since any blood ran upon the altar, since prayers were offered in the Holy of Holies. This is a momentous hour. Church, I believe we're living at such an hour. I believe that's why God has given us these messages on Daniel. We are living at a momentous hour. And you know what? We better begin to understand the hour that we live in. By the books, by the prophets, by the word of God, we can begin to understand. As we look at our world, as we look at world events, it's not a normal hour. It's not business as normal. We are reaching a remarkable hour of prophecy. It is utterly remarkable. Daniel actually knew that 50 years before, in the year 586 BC, that the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. And God said he would judge them for that. Do you realize that God had a remarkable plan to fulfill in all of this? 70 literal years are going to be fulfilled. 70 literal years. Do you know Daniel took 70 literally? Now write that down. Write it in the margin of your Bible and write it upon your mind. I've read a lot of commentators, Bible teachers, and they'll try to say this 70 years, it wasn't literal, it was rough, or it was vague, or it was symbolic. The 70 meant perfection multiplied by 10. And they go on and they wax eloquent in trying to figure all of this out and make it symbolic so that God won't be embarrassed. I want to tell you the number 70, Daniel took it literally. He said that he understood by books the number of years. The number 70 was a literal number to be taken literally. And we need to understand that. That is the first essential thing. These 70 years were being fulfilled in Daniel's day. When he looked at the Bible, it said 70 years. And he believed it. He believed it was literal. My second point here. The necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. It says in verse 3, and this is the result. As he saw this, the hour he lived in, as he began to understand Bible prophecy, as he began to apply it and see that he was in a momentous hour, a vital hour of the fulfilling of Bible prophecy. Do you know what he done next? He went to prayer. And this is my second point. Not only a literal 70 years, my second point, the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. If all you do is get intrigued by prophecy, you want to argue about it, talk about it, you're fascinated about it, you want to hear about it, but it never drives you to a practical awakening of praying in a certain way. The way we read here tonight, if it doesn't drive you to repentance and prayer, to confessing your sins, to groaning over your neglect of the word of God, then you do not understand Bible prophecy. You see, the second point here, the necessity of prayer. Look at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Look at the effect on Daniel as he begins to understand by numbers the hour he lives in through Bible prophecy that he is at the beginning of a significant event. Oh yes, it's not 70 years yet since the temple was destroyed, only 50 years, but he is in that time frame, that period, that hour. He may not see the full fulfillment of this, but he is at the beginning of it. You know what he does? He goes to prayer. He sets himself to seek the face of God. He seeks God in prayer and supplication. He adds fasting unto it. Why is he praying? Because he is seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. From verse 4 to verse 19, we see his prayer. You see, he knew it was an hour for all of this to begin to happen. In about 3 years, he's going, all of this is going to begin to get restored over the next couple of decades. He begins to see the hour he lives in, and he is gripped in prayer. Do you realize it's absolutely necessary to pray for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy? You see, you can hear about everything that's going to happen in this hour. Oh, God is going to pour out his spirit on Israel. Other things are going to happen in our world. But if you don't pray into it, you don't believe those prophecies. You really don't. I'm talking about the necessity of prayer, that prayer goes hand in hand with Bible prophecy, where God has prophesied. God's people must never say, God's just going to do it. It doesn't matter about me. God always raises up a vessel of prayer to see it accomplished. In fact, if you went to Jeremiah 29, where it talks about the 70 years in relation to Israel and to Jerusalem and God restoring his people, listen to what else it says in verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me. When? In the time that you realize it's time for the 70 years to come to end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And so Jeremiah prophesies that in this hour, the fulfilling of the 70 years, that you, the people of God, are going to go to prayer. You're going to begin to seek me to do this thing, even though it was prophesied, even though God sovereignly said it must happen, and he cannot lie. Yet there's got to be a praying people to bring it forth, to bring it to pass. Saints, do you honestly think that in these last days that God simply prophesied in the Old Testament to Daniel all the way through to John and Revelation, and you think the church can be apathetic and sit back and do nothing, and that all these things just come to pass anyway? No way. Absolutely no way. Saints, there is direct prophecy that will sovereignly come to pass, but God will stir up a people who are going to begin to pray. It says in verse 20, and whilst I was speaking in prayer, that's when, right in the midst of this beautiful prayer, whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins, and in verse 21, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. What a remarkable thing. And in fact, in verse 23, it says, and at the beginning of thy supplications, Gabriel speaking on them, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, I am come to show thee. In other words, as Daniel is praying, Gabriel comes forth and touches him. And actually tells him, as soon as you began to pray, I was commanded to come and to show you what I'm about to show you. Isn't that a remarkable answer to prayer? Imagine you begin to pray, and before you reach the end of it, an angel from heaven, Gabriel, is standing there, and he taps you on the shoulder and says, I'm here to answer. God has sent me and commanded me to fly very swiftly. Since all it takes is a length of a prayer from an angel to go from the throne room of God God, to your very side in whatever situation you are. I assure you, these are remarkable things where Bible prophecy gets caught up in prayer and it meshes together. And here the angel Gabriel, he says, I've come to give thee skill and understanding. Do you know what hour this was at? It was at the time of the evening oblation. What's the evening oblation? That's what happened from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock every day in Jerusalem in the temple. The offering up of prayer. That's what happened. A lamb was sacrificed on the altar. There were sacrifices offered unto God. There hasn't been a temple or an altar for 50 years. And yet here is Daniel at the hour of the oblation from 3 to 4. What's he doing? He's in prayer. He's daily in prayer. He's remembering, oh, the temple might be gone, but the prayer time isn't gone. I'm still offering up my sacrifices unto God. Do you realize that a part of his prayer was for the restoration of Israel? The 70 years are almost complete. What's he praying for? Lord, forgive us. Lord, restore us. Lord, have mercy upon us. An angel is sent to answer his prayer. Do you realize that very year that Daniel was praying in? We read elsewhere in the Bible, in Ezra chapter 1 and many other scriptures, we read concerning Zerubbabel, a politician of royal blood, and Joshua the high priest took a band of 42,000 Jews on an 800-mile journey back to Jerusalem. What a remarkable thing that his prayer was caught up in this. It was that same year as Gabriel came to answer his prayer that Cyrus the Great had his heart stirred up. And we're told in 2 Chronicles 36 that the Lord stirred up Cyrus's heart in the first year of his reign to do what Jeremiah prophesied in sending the people back to begin rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Do you see all of this comes together? God uses world events to work in his people, to bring forth his plans and his purposes. This is a remarkable thing. Now listen carefully before we go on to our third and our final point. Zerubbabel and Joshua led the 42,000 back to Jerusalem. Everything is destroyed. The buildings, the walls, this entire city, the temple, everything is destroyed. And they begin to rebuild the temple. They finally lay the foundation of the temple and they begin to weep and rejoice. Here is the fulfilling of Bible prophecy. There's only one problem. It's actually 20 years too early. 22 years early. You say, how can that be possible? It's 20 years before the end of the 70 years. Were they working before time? No, listen a second. They laid the foundation. Their enemies rose up. They become discouraged. Legal legislation come in against them. They become overwhelmed. They felt hopeless. And do you realize for 16 years they stopped the work of God? 16 years they grew so discouraged. Nothing else happened. Do you see how all this fits together? That even the discouragement of God's people, it couldn't be justified, but God brought that in and weaved it in so that finally, 16 years later, that God stirred up Zechariah and Haggai to begin prophesying to them and their hearts are stirred again and they finish the temple. How long was it? 70 years since the temple had been destroyed. 70 long years and the temple was in the place and again blood sacrifice was made. Don't tell me that there isn't literal numbers here. Don't tell me that we can't take Bible prophecy literally. We absolutely can. And Gabriel came to give Daniel skill, understanding, to show him, and he commanded him, therefore understand and to consider all the things that I say unto you. My third and my final point, and I'm only getting warmed up here, so just settle in for the night here as we begin to look at this prophecy in a closer way. My third point here, 70 prophetic weeks. We've seen 70 literal years. We've seen the necessity of prayer in connection with prophecy. But here, third of all, in Daniel chapter 9, and this is my entire message, and this is my third point, 70 prophetic weeks. You see, this is the third vision of Daniel, and Gabriel brings it to him. Chapter 7 has the first vision of Daniel. Do you remember what it was? It was the four beasts coming up out of the sea. Chapter 8 has the second vision. Do you remember what that was? That was the ram and the goat, the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire. Now here in chapter 9, we have Daniel's third vision. And we're going to look at this. Four short verses. But remarkable. I would dare say this is one of the most remarkable prophecies in the entire Bible. Utterly remarkable. Now, I hope you have your thinking caps on here. I try to stir you, inspire you. Now, I want you to be intellectually engaged. I'm going to make sure you've got a pen and paper. Make sure that you try to concentrate, or you can go back over this afterwards. But I'm going to explain to you a prophecy that deals with numbers of years that affected the generation of the early church, but it will also affect our generation, the last generation. A utterly remarkable vision given to this old man, this old prophet in Babylon, a man of prayer, a man in tune with God, a man of the Bible who studied Bible prophecy. Away with your foolish dreams of the night. Understand prophecy by the written scriptures. Now let me take you to the 70 prophetic weeks of Daniel. Look at verse 24 with me here tonight as we look at this. This is remarkable. Verse 24. It says 70 weeks, and this is Gabriel speaking to Daniel. He's already dealt with the 70 weeks, or sorry, the 70 years. We've already looked at that. Now we're going to look at another vision. He begins, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Notice very carefully here, 70 weeks. What does that number mean? I believe it's a literal number. The word weeks there means sevens. In other words, 77s. Gabriel is speaking to him. It's in the context of the fulfilling of 70 years in connection with Jerusalem and God's people Israel. 70 literal years. Now Gabriel comes amidst all the prayer of this, and he begins to speak another vision, another prophecy about 70 weeks that are going to take place, or 77s. Now, these weeks are not made up of days. Neither can you multiply them in some strange way. Because if you took them as literal days, they would be a year and a half. But they are years. They are prophetic weeks. And they actually turn out to be 490 years. If you multiply 70 by 7, in other words, it's 70 sevens. That's what the angel's saying here. He says 70 sevens are a period of 490 years. Now look at it. Just like there's been a period of 70 years, now there's a period of 490 years. And certain things are going to happen. It's a prophecy. 70 years are determined upon thy people. Now look at this very carefully. 77s are determined upon thy people, the Jewish people, and upon thy city, which means the city of Jerusalem. This isn't for Babylon. It's not for New York. It's not for Dublin or London. It's not for Berlin. It's actually to do with the city of Jerusalem. These 490 years are connected to the city of Jerusalem in Judah. And they are also connected to the literal people of Israel, to Daniel's people, not the church of our generation, but specifically to the physical racial group connected to Daniel the prophet. It's his people and it's his city, and these 490 years are determined in connection with that city. Notice what the word determined here means. Listen very carefully. This word determined means to allot, to cut off, or to decree. It means to sever into different portions. In other words, these 490 years, they are cut out from time, from the rest of time, from the time of the Gentiles. These 400 years are cut out. And in fact, they are severed into different portions. This is setting a time frame that is going to be divided up or split into sections. And we're going to see tonight, these 490 years were split into three different sections. And then the third, last section was split in half, which means 490 years get split in four. There is clear teaching here that this is literal years, not spiritual, not symbolic, not natural days, not natural weeks. These are 490 years, literal years that have a connection to the city of Jerusalem. Now, the actual word determined here is used of a tailor. You know what a tailor is in a shop, who actually makes a coat. He'll take different bits of material, cut it in line, then put it together, and then give you a complete coat. But that complete coat is made up of certain determined bits of material, and the right person putting them together has a complete coat. That's what determined means. Daniel is being told this 490 years is severed up into different parts. Four distinct parts actually comes together as a complete plan or purpose of God. What a remarkable thing here. And he also goes on in this verse to say that there are six things connected. In these 490 years, six things are going to come to completion. In other words, six things are the goal. Or it's going to take this 490 years to complete these six different promises of God to accomplish in human history. He emphasizes these six promises that are based upon Jesus' death on the cross. They're also partially experienced by God's people now, the church, but they will have a final manifestation at the return or completion at the return of Jesus Christ. This is God's plan to restore Israel, and it includes these six blessings. Remember, these six blessings aren't attached to the church or to some Gentile city. It's the city of Jerusalem, and it's to Daniel's people. Listen what they are very briefly. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All of this is connected, and I don't have time to stop here, but these are all connected to the 490 years. Now let's begin to look at these different sections of this prophecy. It is the most remarkable prophecy we're dealing with tonight. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand. Gabriel wants Daniel to know and to understand, to have knowledge and to actually be able to put the bits together, to understand the jigsaw of prophecy, to put everything in its right place. Listen carefully. He's now going to explain the 490 years in its different parts that make up the complete 490 years. Listen what he says. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. or a period of 49 years and 62 weeks. So already we see here in verse 25, he has split 490 years into two. He's given two periods of time, not 490 years anymore. He actually takes out the first two bits, 7 weeks, which is 49 years, 62 weeks, which is a period of 434 years, and there's only 1 week left. So we see here in this verse, he gives you the time frame of two separated out periods of time out. Now listen, I want to warn you here tonight that I got an F when I done maths. That's the lowest mark you can get. All our teachers said you can't fail subjects. In GCSE, nobody fails. That's a lie. I got an F in everything apart from art. And I don't boast in that. But I'm just telling you, I am not a mathematician. But you know what? In written maths, I always got an F. I always came last. But in mental arithmetic, when I was sitting in the class and my teacher done the entire class mental arithmetic, do you know I got top marks in mental arithmetic? You see, I knew the answer, but I didn't know how to get there. She thought I cheated in the test. She looked at my marks afterwards, said, "Malcolmson, stay behind." And when I stayed behind, she made me reset the mental arithmetic. She would just call it out and I would write down. And she was shocked again. I got top marks at mental arithmetic. But you know what? I never knew. I could never work out how to get there. But it didn't change the fact that I got the right scores and I got the right marks. But sadly, my teacher never apologized to me. She just looked at me in disbelief going, "How in all the world did this guy ever do it? He gets an F in written maths trying to work it out, but he gets the right destination." Now I'm telling you that for a reason. You may not understand how all this works, but you've got to understand the beginning and you've got to understand where it ends. In other words, I hope your mental arithmetic is good and you understand this. But if you don't understand all of the years and all of the ins and outs, that's fine. Just understand the basics here. And while my maths teacher wouldn't have congratulated me, I will congratulate you. So let's go to this. I'm just preparing you, setting you up for this so you listen to me tonight. From the going forth of the command to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, these two periods of time, 49 years and then 434 years will take you to Messiah. Now notice what it's saying here. It's giving you two periods of time. When you add them together, then you say, as soon as a command is given to rebuild Jerusalem, as soon as that command is actually given to rebuild the entire city of Jerusalem, you can actually count down until when the Messiah comes, or the Christ, or the Anointed One. You can count the years, 483 years. Daniel was getting a prophecy and said, "Daniel, listen to me. When the command is given, count 483 years and Messiah will be alive until the days or the ministry of Messiah." Isn't this remarkable? This is extraordinary that Daniel was given a prophecy that was going to go right down until the days of the Lord Jesus Christ in his public ministry. What an accurate, this is literal prophecy we're dealing with. It's not symbolic. It is not fake. It is very accurate and we're to take it literally. Now let's break it down. Again, to these two parts. The first part is 49 years. 49 years. And notice what it says in verse 25. It says, "The street shall be built again, and the wall in troublesome times." So from the given of the commandment, until the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and the rebuilding of Jerusalem, it's going to be 49 years from the given command, and it's going to be in troublesome times, or times of great pressure, great distress, trouble, of great anxiety from the enemy. Just because you get trouble in your life and the enemy is fighting you and all hell fights this church, do not think that we're not in the center of God's plan and purpose, you might feel like all hell is coming against you in your life. And you go, where is God's plan? In fact, that could be the very hour of the fulfilling of God's plan. God could be fulfilling his plan in your life personally, and you don't recognize it. You're so aware of the battle. You're caught up in the battle. Do you know when this was fulfilled? In the days of Nehemiah. Do you realize when Nehemiah was sent back to Jerusalem, this is a prophecy that from the giving of the command to the complete finishing of Jerusalem is 49 years. Who received the command? It was Nehemiah. And he is going to see the rebuilding of the walls and the street of Jerusalem. You know, at times they had to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. That's 49 years up to Nehemiah's day. Then there's another period of 434 years. Look at me with me in verse 26. And after, underline that word after, very important. And after 62 weeks, or after 434 years. And notice it says after. So we have a time frame. Daniel is given exact information, the giving of a command, the rebuilding of the walls. Now, after the 62 weeks or the 434 years, shall Messiah be cut off and not for himself. Do you see how accurate this prophecy is? It's an extraordinary prophecy. First of all, seven sevens or a period of 49 years. The command is given to rebuild the wall, to be finished in a period of 49 years. By the completion of 49 years, it's finished. Jerusalem, its walls, and its streets. But where does this begin? When did it begin? Do you know in the Bible, from Daniel chapter 9, after Daniel chapter 9 and the prayer given there, there were four decrees given by three different Medo-Persian kings concerning the city of Jerusalem or the temple in Jerusalem. Four different decrees. And we read about them in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah in the history of the restoring of Jerusalem. Four different decrees. How do we know which one of the decrees it is? The first decree was in the first year of Cyrus. We read about it in 2 Chronicles 36. And it was a decree to rebuild the temple. That's the first one. The second one is in the second year of Darius. And we read about it in Ezra chapter 6. That was to complete the temple. The third decree was in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, and it is in Ezra chapter 7. That was to beautify the temple. Now listen, is it one of these three decrees that Gabriel was speaking about that you begin counting from? No, it couldn't be. Do you know why? Because it was all about the temple, the building of the temple, the completion of the temple, the beautifying of the temple. And even after those three decrees were fulfilled, still the walls were down. Still the buildings were down. It still wasn't fulfilled. The three previous ones were only concerning the temple. I'm telling you how to know God's timing, the beginning of timing. But there is a fourth decree here, and I believe it's when the time begins. It was in, and you'll find it in Nehemiah chapter 2. It brings us right down to Nehemiah. Who was Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer in Shushan, or Susa, the capital of the Medo-Persian Empire. He is working for the king. And look at it. Here is the 20th year of Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2. And here's Nehemiah going about his business. You know, for 3 months he has been praying and weeping, hearing about Jerusalem. He had heard that the gates are still burnt out. The walls are still down. There still isn't a full fulfillment of prophecy. And you know what? There he is. He's only a humble cupbearer. He's not a prince. He's not a prophet. He's not a preacher. All he is a cupbearer for Artaxerxes. And this is the 20th year of Artaxerxes. Do you see how prophecy breaks in? Here is a simple, humble man praying. And as he brings the cup to the king, he doesn't realize God is about to start the clock. God is about to begin the countdown to Messiah. Isn't this extraordinary? A prophecy is going to start on this day in a normal 9-to-5 job. And here's a normal worker. He's not in spiritual ministry. God, through his prayers, through what's happening here, is going to start the clock on the 49 years. He doesn't realize he's just about to go into the building business. He doesn't realize what God is just about to begin here. But you know what? You know the story. Artaxerxes says, "What's wrong? What's wrong with you? I can tell." And he begins to pour out his heart. He says a little prayer. And he says, "Oh God, help me." And then he begins to tell him. Artaxerxes makes a decree. And it says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and 1, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan," which is Passover, "when they slay the lamb." That's very important because of where this ends. Because of Messiah being cut off. Messiah is going to be cut off at Nisan in Passover. It says in Nehemiah 2 and 1, "In the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, he makes a decree and he sends Nehemiah back." Do you know what that led to? 49 years of rebuilding work. And do you realize that over these next years, those gates are going to get put in place. Those walls are going to get put in place. Homes are going to get restored. Everything is going to be back in its place. The ministry is going to be back in there. What a remarkable thing. Since I believe you, the church of the 21st century, here in 2021, you and I are caught up in prophetic fulfillment in a way that you can't imagine. I believe we're at the center stage of the final fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We're on the edge of one of the greatest eras of the fulfillment of prophecy, and most of the church don't realize it. We need Daniels again. We need Nehemiahs again. We need men. We need churches. We need spiritual movements that are going to begin to pray. And God is, do you know, it doesn't matter if you're a humble man in a workplace. It doesn't matter if you're an old lady in a house. It doesn't matter if you're a mother with children. Begin to pray. Begin to understand the hour that you and I live in. You see, the 70 weeks begin with a historic, datable event in a workplace. As Nehemiah is talking to this great king, Artaxerxes, it is datable. We have an actual date from history for it. We can give you the exact hour it happened. It's a literal person. You can't spiritualize this. That is utterly impossible. Do you know the archaeologists have revealed to us the year of Artaxerxes' ascension to the throne as the year 465 BC. It is a rock solid date in history. Do you know also some have worked out the hour, the day when Artaxerxes gave his decree, the 14th of March in the year 445 BC. That's how some Bible teachers have so defined it. It was Nisan. It was the time of the fulfilling of prophecy. I'm telling you something extraordinary. But you know what? Those gates, those walls are going to get rebuilt in an hour of great trouble. Nehemiah is going to go into seven chapters of severe opposition from the enemy. Now let's look at the second. We looked at the first 49 years. Now let's move to the next period, 62 weeks. From the rebuilding of Jerusalem until Messiah is going to be 62 weeks, or a period of 434 years. Do you know the Jews of the first century had this in their Bible? They had Daniel. They had Daniel chapter 9. Many of them studied it. They could have counted down the years from Artaxerxes, the countdown to the hour of the Messiah, to when he would be cut off. Do you know what they could read in their Bible? That the Messiah they were looking for, who was going to come to rule over all nations, that this Messiah, there was a time count. There was a period of time to when Messiah was going to be cut off. The word cut off means to kill or to murder. It's not talking about something normal. It's talking about Messiah being cut off. That word is also used for cutting a covenant or the beginning of a covenant or the making of covenant. Here they read in their own Bible the exact number of years, literal years. Maybe many of them spiritualized it. Maybe many of them made them symbolic years and they missed the Messiah. You realize these years were the countdown to not only Messiah coming, and it says there in this prophecy, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Messiah's going to be killed, but not for himself. And you know that it was for you and I. What a remarkable thing that this led all the way to Nisan. Unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Saints, I've got much that I'd love to see here tonight, but we need to cut to the chase. Many years ago, there was a book written about 140 years ago by an Irishman who was born in Dublin City. His name was Robert Anderson. Robert Anderson. And he actually heard the gospel in Dublin at a meeting and got born again. Mightily met the Lord Jesus Christ. His sins were forgiven. He believed that Jesus died for him and he repented of his sins. Well, he went to Trinity College and become a very educated man, a remarkable man, but he was spiritual. Never think to be spiritual. You aren't intelligent. You can have a heart on fire as well as a mind on fire. And God wants us to have these together. But Robert Anderson become a great man of the scriptures and a Bible prophecy. Do you know, as he worked through college and then went out into work, he become the assistant commissioner of crime for the London Metropolitan Police Force or for Scotland Yard. In fact, he was the highest ranking officer to look after Jack the Ripper, all those murders of women in London. He was the top officer overseeing that entire investigation. He was in that position from 1888 through until 1901. Well, here, let me tell you about a book that he wrote. He wrote one book called Daniel in the Critic's Den, showing that the book of Daniel was accurate, literal, true history. But he wrote a second book called The Coming Prince, or The 70 Weeks of Daniel. He also wrote about 17 books in total. And in fact, his books were read by William Gladstone, that was the Prime Minister of Great Britain for 12 years. They were read by Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany, who led the First World War, and also by Queen Victoria of Great Britain. All these individuals read these prophetic books of an Irishman born in Dublin. You ought to know your history. Great things have come out of this island that's affected the entire world. Well, he wrote a book in 1881, 140 years ago, about this very prophecy that I'm dealing with, a remarkable prophecy, and Queen Victoria gave him a word, an award for it. He died in 1918 through the Spanish flu. Listen for a second. This is what he actually said about this prophecy. It began in the 14th of March in the year 445 BC, and it was confirmed by archaeology concerning King Artaxerxes. And in a period of 483 years, he calculated this by not using a 31-day month, but a 30-day month, a 360-day year. And he come to 173,880 days. And he come to a final date of the 6th of April, 32 in AD. What a remarkable thing. He went and worked all of that out to the very day. Where did that bring him to? The very date that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and 4 days later he was going to be crucified. Saints, there's other people, other men that have worked out different dates. Remember, like my maths teacher, you may not know how you got there, but from the giving of that decree through to Jesus being crucified, this period takes you right into the ministry of Christ. Whether it was the year 30 AD or whether it was 33 AD, this period of time takes you right there before the cutting off of Messiah. Even if your mass was out, it takes you right to this unique hour. Let's go a bit further on this. Verse 26. And it says, "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the sanctuary." Now what's this speaking about? After the end of this period of years, of the 483 years, three things are going to happen. Number one, Messiah is going to get cut off. In other words, here, listen to me, there's seven more years left, or 1 week. We've already looked at 483 years, but there's 7 years left. But you know, this prophecy shows there's a break in between it. After the 483 years, Messiah will be cut off. Afterwards, it also goes on and says there's going to be another two events before the final 7 years. Listen carefully before we close on this. You know, I hope I haven't lost you tonight. Many years ago, I think it's heading towards 30 years ago, there was a great Bible teacher from Singapore called Paul Tan. He came to our church in Scotland. I was in the back row of the church. I loved his preaching, often wept as he preached and taught the Word of God. But that night he taught on Daniel's 70 weeks. He taught from this chapter. And as I listened to him, by the end of it, I was taking my notes. I went, "I don't have a clue what he's talking about." And you know, that night I laughed to myself smugly. And I said, "Lord, I'll never teach on this chapter. You in this church know that I've taught on this many times. I've preached on it, referred to it. God help me. God took vengeance on me by giving me such a burden to understand it. I just hope you weren't like me on that night." But I want to warn you tonight, if you're here near the end of this message and you're going, "What is this guy speaking about?" I want to warn you, be very careful. You could become a preacher, a teacher of this very prophecy. One that you don't understand. One that goes over your head. One that you can't comprehend. God could actually give you a love for it and make you to understand it. Saints, he did with me. He did with me. Bear with us. But it says in verse 26, there's a second thing. Messiah gets cut off, but there's a second thing here, verse 26. "And the people of the prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary." It shows us that between this, between the 483 years being fulfilled and the final 7 years, there's going to be certain things happen. Messiah gets cut off, but also the city of Jerusalem and the temple gets destroyed again. This happened 40 years after the death of Christ, in the year 70 AD. In other words, now, between the end of the previous time, we're no longer looking at the fulfilling of the last 7 years. There is a gap in between it. "And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary." Messiah gets cut off. Jerusalem is going to get destroyed. And still we're waiting for the final 7 years. Saints, the 7 years are not joined onto the 483 years. This actual prophecy shows there is a gap. There's a time lapse. And not only is there two events, there's a third one I'm going to show you here. But notice with the destruction of Jerusalem, they talk about the people of the prince. In the next verse, it talks about a prince that's going to come and initiate the last 7 years. But here it talks about the people who destroy Jerusalem. The people who destroy the temple in AD 70. That a prince is going to come out of that same people who's going to initiate the last 7 years of history. Now notice carefully as we come down to the close here. The prince in verse 27, in the very next verse, is connected to the last week of Daniel, a period of 7 years. And yet here's the people who are caught up in destroying Jerusalem. It's talking about his people. If you find out who the people were who destroyed Jerusalem, you'll know what nationality, you'll know what affiliation that the Antichrist is going to have in the last days. He is called a prince, and he's going to initiate the last 7 years of time in Bible prophecy. If you find out who the people are, you will know something about the culture of this man. You see, the people who cut off Christ and destroyed the temple, who were they? We know it was the Roman Empire. It was the fourth beast of Daniel and of the book of Revelation. It was the Roman Empire that had Jesus Christ crucified and also destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem, beginning in AD 70, and they carried through for some 40 years that they come back and destroyed and scattered the people. It was in AD 70 that Titus, the great general of the Roman armies, led an army against Jerusalem and destroyed it. He killed about 1 million people, scattered many others, and he wanted to put down, he renamed the city. But listen to me. Some modern scholars have pointed out that some of the main regiments of Titus that destroyed the city of Jerusalem were not Romans or Italians. They were Syrians and Arabs. Just note that down. Some of the main regiments that went in and burnt down, Titus was a Roman. The generals and captains were Romans by nationality, by citizenship. But many of the soldiers were actually Syrians and Arabians. Do you know what Syria is? Remember what Syria was? Antiochus, that we dealt with there last week. Do you remember Antiochus, who ruled a portion of the Grecian Empire? He was a Syrian leader. The old empire of Syria, and Antioch was his capital. Well, it was from this very region that the main regiments that burnt down the city in Jerusalem, that burnt down, that raided the temple, Titus was their general, a Roman. This is the Roman Empire, but they're Syrian soldiers. And I'm going to deal more with this next week when we come to it. So there's three things. Messiah gets cut off. Jerusalem is destroyed, but there's a third thing here in verse 26, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Three things happen between these two determined points of Bible prophecy. Between the end of the 483 years and the beginning of the 7 years, these three things happen. Messiah is cut off. The Jerusalem is destroyed by a certain kind of people. And then it goes further and saying that there'll be a flood until the end, wars and desolations. You know what I believe this is talking about? That AD 70 was only the beginning of wars and of desolation of the city of Jerusalem. Do you realize since AD 70 that the city of Jerusalem has been besieged 23 times? Attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times, and destroyed at least twice. Do you realize that all through these years that Jerusalem has been marked by wars, by violence, by desolation, straight down to this hour that we are living in? And I believe we'll yet see Ezekiel's war very, very shortly. Do you know what I believe this third part carries us all the way through until the final fulfillment of the last 7 years? Let me bring you down to the last 7 years here, or the last week, 1 week, or a period of 7 years. We find it in verse 27, in Daniel 9:27, and we're going to finish here. Some of yous are glad. I know it. But Daniel 9:27, the final week or the final 7 years, since everything has been perfect, accurate, according to literal numerology, a time scale was set in place. Even the things that have happened in between have been accurate. Now we come to the last week. Look at verse 27. And he, that is the prince mentioned in the previous verse, a prince who's going to rise up out of the people who destroyed Jerusalem. Could he be a Syrian or an Assyrian or a Middle Eastern Arab? We'll look at that maybe next week. And he, this prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the final week. Do you realize this confirmment of the covenant is connected to 1 week or a 7 year period? It is a literal period of years. It begins with an event and it ends with an event. It is actually marked out. It's initiated by a man called the Prince, who's going to be connected to those people who destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. And he shall confirm a covenant. That word confirm doesn't mean to make a covenant. It means to establish it or to strengthen it or to make it very, very strong. That's what it actually means. He's going to establish a covenant. Maybe it was there before, but he will establish it for a period of 7 years. Saints, this is going to mark the beginning of the last 7 years of Bible prophecy, of the fulfillment of this 490 years. And it says that he is going to confirm the covenant with many in Israel. Remember, this is concerning Jerusalem and the people of Daniel, the Jews. This last 7 years is connected to the city of Jerusalem. This prince who's coming from a certain people is going to be part of the revived Roman Empire. That's his political system. But he's also going to rise up in a certain nation, in a certain area of the world. Not America, not Europe, not Australia. He is going to rise up in the Middle East and he's going to be a part of the political revived Roman Empire. How exact is this? Listen to what he does. He confirms a covenant with Israel for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, in other words, at 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Notice what happens. He stops the sacrifices being made in the temple and the oblation to cease. This would show me that this 7 year covenant made between the Antichrist and Israel is going to have tied into that 7 year covenant or agreement. Tied into it is going to allow them to have blood sacrifice. I believe that this will be connected to the rebuilding of the temple, the third temple, that's just about to happen in Jerusalem. I believe they're going to start their blood sacrifice and it's going to be allowed by this prince of a Middle Eastern nation who's going to be part of the last world global government. He's going to start this covenant, but halfway through, he's going to stop the blood sacrifices. Remember what we said last week? Antiochus, who went into Israel, Jerusalem, the temple, and put up the statue with his face on it, and began to offer the blood of a pig, and he brought an abomination in there. This prince, this is the real one. Antiochus was only a shadow. This is the real one. He's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determine shall be poured upon the desolate. Notice here in this last 7 years, in the middle of the year, he puts an abomination in the temple. We're going to see more of this in Daniel chapter 10 and in Daniel chapter 11. But it's speaking about what happened in Daniel chapter 8 with Antiochus, where he put that image in the temple. Do you realize this last 7 years, there's going to be a rebuilt temple. The Jews are going to restart their blood sacrifice. Halfway through middle of the week, 3.5 years in, Antichrist is going to go in there. He's going to stop the blood sacrifice and he's going to put up an abomination of desolation. This is what Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 24. He gives the mark and the sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus and of the end of the world. He says in Matthew 24:15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then you're going to know." What are you going to know? Verse 16, "Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Why? What is it that the abomination, that this prince, this little horn, this Antichrist is going to place in the temple in Jerusalem, an image of himself? He's going to stop the blood sacrifice. He's going to break the covenant with Israel. And he's going to raise up an abomination, an image right in there that's going to be connected to every individual in the world that takes the mark of the beast on their forehead or their right hand. What is this image of the beast? What does it indicate? Jesus goes on and he actually says in verse 16, "Then let them flee to Judea into the mountains, for then shall be great tribulation." The abomination of desolation initiated by a man of peace, a great politician, is going to initiate the great tribulation that will last for 3.5 years. Since I've given you a remarkable prophecy split down into four, I know it can be hard to follow, but I want you to be gripped by the awe. What we have said tonight, 70 literal days, Daniel was there praying for it. Now, saints of God, I believe we're approaching the beginning of the final 7 years. I don't know how close we are. Like Daniel, I don't know whether it's 3 years away or 20 years away. But you know what I do know? This is the generation. Everything is converging on this hour. They're getting ready to rebuild the third temple in Jerusalem. All the technology is there for a mark, a chip to be put in you. They want to do it by 2025. To have what your mobile is in your body by 2025 on the high street. All a Bible prophecy is coming to pass. And we're the church of this last hour. As we close here, can I ask you, will you be a Daniel? Will you be a Nehemiah in this last hour? We are the last generation, the church that God has chosen for this hour. Will Bible prophecy stir you up? And everyone that's heard me teach on Daniel, whether in this church or in other countries that are listening into us, are you going to be moved to pray? Is this going to impact your prayer life? Are you just a lazy listener? Are you someone intrigued by prophecy, but it never comes to the point of prayer, of fasting, of supplication, of putting on sackcloth and ashes? That means repentance and brokenness and affecting your lifestyle. Are you affected tonight? Or is it merely tickling your ears? Please close with me as we close in prayer here tonight. Father, I pray for us as a church, Limerick City Church here. Lord God, we are living in an hour like Daniel. We are living in an hour like Nehemiah. All of the rest of Bible prophecy, remarkable prophecies, are being set in place right across our world. Our world has changed and will never be the same again. We are living in a prophetic hour. We are living in a global hour of radical change of religion, politics, economy, education, of social life, of health. Our world will never be the same again. And yet your church is asleep. My God, give us Daniels again. Give us Nehemiahs again. Give us a people who see the urgency of the hour. Oh God, send Gabriel again. Send your angels again. Grant us understanding that we are going to be impacted by these prophecies, not merely to be entertained, but to suddenly understand like Daniel, the hour that we live in, that this is an hour spoken of in the Bible, and it's an hour that we're called to pray. Amen. Lord God, help us. Lord God, help us. And may God give you understanding of the Word of God, a Bible prophecy. May you come to understand by studying the Word of God that this isn't just another hour. The day for enjoying Bible prophecy, preaching it, talking about it, without living it out, is over. Saints, the church of our generation, I'm hearing it from every direction. People who used to believe this and preach it and teach it, those same churches are in utter confusion in this hour. They're actually in denial, denying that this is serious where we've come to. They're all telling themselves life will get back to normal. I'm telling you, we're in the last days. I don't know whether it's 3 years or 20 years we have. I don't know. Neither do you. But I assure you, this is it. There's no more dress rehearsal. This is it. We're embarking in it. Either you'll miss it or you're going to be a vital part of it. God bless you tonight.